You're listening to the City Church Tallahassee podcast. For more information about City Church, please visit us online at citychurchtallahassee.com.
Hey, good evening. It's good to be together. Thanks for being here. Thank you to Sarah and Alex. I want to give a shout out. We're talking about things like finding how God has dropped the bank rate that's really a blessing in our lap and all the things that are happening financially. There's one man in our church that really heads all of that up, and his name's Robert Coleman. Robert, will you please stand up? I just want to thank you for how you serve your church. Here's just a quick, neat story. It means a lot to me. Several years ago, I'm not sure how long ago it was, and I don't want Robert to tell me because I'm pretending it wasn't that long ago. Because he's been doing this for a long time. We had gotten to the point where we knew we just really had to have professionals and that we weren't the little church plant that was trying really hard to just get going anymore and just really had to, I'm just going to be honest with you, just button up on a lot of things. There wasn't anything bad happening, but for us to go forward and be who we are now, we needed someone with expertise to really oversee, especially the finances of the church. So Alex Scott and I sat down with Robert because we had knew that he had been CFO of several companies, had a long-time career in accounting, just was really savvy, also a man of very high character, very committed to the church, and we sat him down. I don't know if anyone even knows the story because Robert doesn't talk about it out loud. And we had budgeted to actually like hire someone and pay someone part-time to oversee the finances of our church. And we basically make the whole entire pitch to Robert, and we're just kind of like, please, you know, kind of thing. And he goes, well, you know, I've been praying about how God would have me use my retirement years. And I would love to do it, but I'm not going to get paid. And to this day, he is basically a full-time staff member at City Church and has never taken a dollar, which is pretty incredible. So we're thankful for you. And for Carol, who loans much of your retirement years to us. So thank you as much as well. What I want to see happen in our church and in our city is a local church that moves the needle in Tallahassee. I'm not saying that hasn't happened before. I'm not saying other churches aren't doing that in our community. What I'm saying is I am 43 years old. I lived here since I was 9 in Tallahassee. Moved here in the summer of 1990 for my dad to open Deer Lake Middle School. It was a construction site when we got here. I just don't know a lot of those stories. I know a lot of good, faithful churches who love Jesus and who stand on the Bible and who I do believe love their city again. This is not some we're better than, this is not that. Hopefully you know my heart about that by now all these years. I just haven't seen a lot of needle moving. And by that I mean a white hot vision for what could be in Tallahassee. And for a long time, so we just started with 20 people 16 years ago, I said, what if the church in Tallahassee was as known in our city as the Capitol and Florida State football, and was like the essence of what it meant to be a part of Tallahassee, was a local church driving the bus? And we said, why not? We said, what if you reach the capital city of Florida? Not the capital city of some insignificant state. There are those, by the way. But of Florida. Like, people are moving here all the time from their, like, crazy woke states to be here, right? I mean, like, Florida has a lot going on. People want to be here. I met somebody in the hotel yesterday in the elevator, and I always make small talk in the elevator. Where are you guys from? And we're in Jacksonville. They said, oh, we're from Boston. I said, oh, are you visiting? They said, yeah, we're down here for a couple days to buy a house. We're moving here. We're tired of our state. We want to be in Florida. People are coming here. So if you reach the capital of the most significant state in the most significant country in the world, and that's true as well, China's getting a little too powerful. That's another story for another time. But a worldwide impact can happen from our church for the city and to the world. And I believe for a long time that churches need to think that way. And if we pray and go full speed ahead and have an urgency and love one another and be unified and stand on the truth, they can actually happen. And I get texts. We want every person to come here. I'm not trying to be a respecter of persons or classes, but just to see how God's working. I get texts on Sunday. People who will list for me all the folks from the Capitol that are coming to church here now on a Sunday. And they're going, we've been praying for this. Keep going. I'll get a picture of a Tuesday night here of Florida State, and now the doors open at Florida A&M for our church as well. They're in this building making much of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of them hearing the gospel for the first time, and I'm going, it's happening. I'll pick my kids up on a Wednesday, just as a dad, not as the pastor, just a dad, And I walk in and I just see kids having the time of their lives, bringing friends in this building. Let them take over the whole entire thing. Maybe the church you grew up in, there was like the youth room. They were confined there, like don't run in the sanctuary, don't bring food. We're like, it's yours, have at it. Take over the whole building. Like, it's happening. It's happening. I see college students graduating, instead of just trying to find a job, which I know their parents want them to do and is a good thing, they're also going, where can I go find a job that'll make the biggest gospel impact from our church, from the city of Tallahassee, into the world? I can be a nurse on a hospital floor anywhere. What an important job. What if I became a nurse with a church plant in this city through our SALT network? What could happen? Like, those are the things that are taking place, and we need to continue to want more of it until Jesus comes back. And God has used people from the very beginning who now live all over the country to help build this and make it what it is, and you're a part of that. And we are in Easter month, which means that at the end of this month, we get to gather in the largest indoor venue in our city to make much of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest things you can do for your church is a few things. Pray. Satan hates that event. We believe the devil is a real being. Jesus believed the devil is a real being who doesn't like what's happening in Tallahassee or anywhere else the church is gathering across the world. Pray for that event. Pray for your friends who maybe you can invite. Maybe a family member who's kind of wayward or not too sure about an Easter Sunday because it's Easter and it means a lot to mom, they're willing to go. What an opportunity. Let's fill that building up. And another big ask I could say how you can serve your church is to be here. Like, please stay in town. I'll call Nana for you and break it to her. Like, we need you as the missionaries to be here and be a part of that event. And I already know now to get there early. Good Friday is also going to be amazing at Ruby Diamonds, one of my favorite services of the year. Just an incredible weekend. We just want to be good stewards of this amazing opportunity that God has given us. And we think it's a really big deal and want to keep it that way. So Easter, the Civic Center, is upon us. Let's keep going full speed. Luke chapter 12, I want to read to you tonight. And again, thanks for being here. Where we see about the necessity of being good stewards. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 43. Blessed is the servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes. Who are the servants? All of us. Who is the master? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the servant that the master, when he comes, sees those people doing what they're supposed to do. In other words, sees them being faithful. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. I said, he will entrust him to much. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and starts to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and get drunk, as in to live like the world, not living in light of Christ's return one day, that servant's master will come on a day he does not expect. And in an hour he does not know. This gets a little intense. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unfaithful. As in, they will go to a place where real people go, but they'll be separated from God from eternity because they weren't actually servants of God to begin with. And that servant who knew his master's wills, and he might have known language and didn't prepare himself or do it, will be severely beaten. It's a metaphor here. The one who did not know and did what deserved punishment will receive a light beating. For everyone who has been given much, maybe you've heard this verse before, from everyone who's been given much, much will be required. And the one who's been entrusted with much, even more will be expected. We have been entrusted with so much here in our church family, here in Tallahassee. Individually, as Christians, we've been entrusted with such a great salvation, the scriptures would tell us. We're stewards of that good news and that grace of God to call him our master and to be his servants. But as a church, we've also been entrusted with a lot, with opportunity, with influence, with the chance to shine our light in a city that's full of so much darkness. I call it darkness with a white picket fence around it. It doesn't look dark on the surface, but when you get further inside, you see the brokenness and the depths of need for Christ in our city. This passage, there's a lot here, and there's probably three sermons in this. I'm just going to hit on a tiny bit of it in terms of the themes. The necessity of being good stewards is all over this story. That we will be held accountable for how we manage everything that's been entrusted to us by God. That is true as individuals, but it also applies corporately to us as a local church. So the context tonight for that passage for us is our current moment as a church. And the promise that if we use what God has entrusted to us for his glory and for his gospel, for his good news, to serve the interests of his kingdom from our church, for the city, and to the world, that we will be blessed. And what does that blessing mean in this context? That we'll be spiritually blessed. That we'll be relationally blessed. That we'll be missionally blessed, knowing we're in step for God's call upon our lives. See, what God has given his people to steward this side of heaven is a local church. That's always been his design from the beginning. And somehow in the last 20, 30, maybe longer years of American kindized church history, the church has been minimized in its significance. It's been minimized. So we try to ring that bell over and over again, saying, no, it's the church that is God's design. It is the church that is God's plan. Different expressions of it happen all across the world, just as he intended. To be his missionaries and to take his good news to the ends of the earth, to make disciples, to build relationships, to stand against the strong current of secularism in our city and godlessness, and to walk into brokenness and help people stand back up and repair their lives and repair their marriages and to answer their questions and to point them to something greater, that there's not more to be gained by disobeying God than there is to be gained by obeying him. We want to be good stewards. And I tread lightly how I say this because I don't want it to come across. I think we're the only ones doing it because I don't feel that way. But we have been handed a baton right now. If you want a relay race before, that first runner comes in, boom, hands the baton and you start running. By faithful Christians who have plowed the way in Tallahassee long before I was born and will long before after we're gone. And I could name you 20 fantastic churches in our city right now. That's why we pray for them on Sunday mornings, and we're for them, and we're on the same team. And we need all of us. One church can't reach this city. There's been churches reaching this city for decades and generations. But I have other pastors even say encouraging things to me. They'll reach out and say, we're praying for you, because right now it seems like God's hand's upon that church. He's not saying it isn't upon their church. I think God's hand's on all of our churches if we're preaching Jesus and aligned with the scriptures. I think God's hand's on all churches. All churches. But people are saying things to me that just kind of make me a little uneasy in my spirit, because they'll say things like, we've never seen this happen before. We've never seen this happen before. And my spirit really has this kind of moment of, God, please let us be faithful. Please let us be faithful to the opportunity you have given us in Tallahassee. And that's not a staff thing. That's not an elders thing. That's an all of us thing. For every person that calls City Church their home. So it's easy to talk about being a good steward, but what's a bad steward? Sometimes the best way to understand what something is to first see what something is not. And I thought about bad stewards and wrote a few things down. One, bad stewards think we are owners. They think it belongs to us. This church is not my church. This church is not our elders' church. This church is not our staff's church. It's the Lord's church. It belongs to him. There's a reason why, even though I do the majority of it, there's a reason why I don't preach every single Sunday. One, I want to live and survive, but it's not my church. I'm not the only voice up here. We need different voices from our church family. Yeah, guest speakers are one thing. We'll have that from time to time to expose us to different ideas and voices. But our church family, feeding one another the word of God. That's what happens in city groups. That's what happens in our Bible studies, our women's gatherings, our men's gatherings, our people coming together as a church family to feed the word of God. We're not owners. We're stewards of this. Second thing is that bad stewards take for granted the blessing. Just kind of shrug your shoulders and assume this is how it's supposed to be. It's easy to do that, and I'm so thankful you're here, but if you just maybe started coming here in the last few weeks, or the last few months, or even the last few years, maybe just go, wow, this is great. This is a neat thing to be a part of, and it has everything I want. And I leave on Sunday morning, sometimes offended by the pastor, but other times feeling great, and really excited. And I'm really thankful that God's brought so many people here. But we can't think that this is just the way it is and just take for granted that it hasn't taken prayer and work and financial contribution and service and showing up and reconciling broken relationships when drama happens and pursuing unity and all the things that have taken place to make this happen. Bad stewards resist change. And it's easy to think that that's not going to be us because we have, like, you know, college students and have, like, a young, you know, vibe on Sunday morning, all those kind of things. But change is going to keep coming here often. And a lot of change is going to come when the building happens. We might I don't know the answer to this yet. I'm not trying to open a can, but, like, we might have to meet somewhere else for a few weeks, or we might have to move to a certain part of the facility. It might not look the same, feel the same for a little while. And you know what? We're all okay with that because we're a part of a vision that believes the greatest thing we can be for Tallahassee is a vibrant and dynamic church, and we're going to do whatever it takes to set us up to be that for generations to come. Bad stewards resist change. The fourth thing is that bad stewards assume it will always be like this. That's why I feel an urgency, if you can't tell. Because I know the story of Tallahassee Church. I've been a student of it for a long time. I've had conversations with people who are much older than me, who have been Christians, again, longer than I've been alive. And I know the stories. That there's been these churches that have maybe had a little tiny moment. And maybe they just assumed they're always going to be this way. They didn't act. They weren't urgent. They didn't go to the next level. They didn't push people. Maybe they settled in. Maybe they said, wow, we've arrived. That can never be us. We can't assume it'll always be like this and push forward for God to allow us to baptize more people and see more disciples made and more people sent out and more churches planted. I remember our first ever $1,000 offering. And I don't mean a $1,000 check. I mean $1,000 total offering. We, like, cried. Like, we can almost pay for God, this week, or something along those lines. Thankfully, God rose a man up to write a check to pay for Godby for several years where we first began as a church. But it's easy now to see the numbers on the screen, and, you know, Alex said it's only a $1,000 difference between what's been given for Let's Go and where we're budgeted to be. So it really is, we thank God for it, but it is a little sensitive. It's easy to think someone else will do it, that someone else will give, but that is not true, and you know it's not true. So all of us must do our part. I love this from Psalm 90. I want to read to you before we pray. And a couple closing comments. Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. One translation says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return mankind to the dust, saying, return, descendants of Adam, for in your sight 1,000 years are like yesterday, that passes by like a few hours of the night. You end their lives, they sleep, they're like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning it sprouts and grows, by evening it withers and dries up. If we are consumed by your anger, we are terrified of your wrath. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days ebb away under your wrath. We end our years like a sigh. Our lives last 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. Even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly and fly away. Who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due. God, teach us to number our days carefully so we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Lord, how long? How long is this broken world going to be like it is? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love so we may shout with joy and be glad all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us, for as many years as we have seen adversity. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be on us. Establish for us in the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. What a prayer for our city. God, we are aware that you punish sin. We're aware of the consequences of rebellion against God, but we know you are a compassionate God. And we want to see your splendor be noticed, not just by our children, but by their children, for generations to come in our city, to know that you are God and that you are great. And how does God make that known? He does it through the local church, which we get to be a part of. Let's be good stewards together going forward and not just finish, let's go, but keep going until Jesus returns. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for your grace. We are thankful for your love. Lord, let us be good stewards of what you have allowed us to receive. I do lift up every church in Tallahassee. It is going to take all of us. We also acknowledge you don't need any of us. You are God. You're the one who rules. You're the one who reigns. So I ask that we will be humbled beneath your power and your truth and have an urgency because of how good you have been to us to want to take your design, this church you've entrusted us with, and continue to go forward with it so it's healthy even generations from now and making an impact in Tallahassee. I pray for a vision night 100 years from now. If Christ hasn't returned, this church will be white hot with the good news of the gospel and a missional urgency, and we'll keep going forward from this church to our city and to the world. But we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.